Psalm 127. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, illuminate your word. Bring us revelation, confirmation, manifestation, counsel, correction, and direction. In Jesus' name. Glory. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Psalm 127. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read this together, okay? Unless the Lord builds the house. Let's start this over again, okay? Let's get this first part in real good. Unless the Lord builds the house. Can we repeat that one more time, please? Unless the Lord builds the house. Wait a minute, hold on. I think we better do it one more time. See this first word, it says unless. It's a powerful meaning of unless the Lord builds the house. It means there's consequences if you don't allow him to. Does everybody get it? Now let's read this one more time. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. In other words, you're trying to build the house, you're laboring in vain. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Unless the, girl, put that away, will you? Unless the Lord builds the house, you what? Labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord what? Guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Wow. So we see here, we got to allow God to build the house, don't we? You know, that's probably the most struggle that every believer goes through. Not allowing God to build the house. It seems that when somebody gets a revelation of one thing, that's what they start building on. They don't go on and let God build the rest of it. So they get the revelation of building one pillar of the house and there's still four more pillars to build and they can't. They get the revelation of one pillar and they start building the same pillars the same way and God's saying, no, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. That pillar is supposed to be another color with a different stone. Hello? Amen. Why? What happens is we take what God has given us, we do that part, and then we want to take that to something else and he's saying, no, that's not for something else. Because what happens is then when we take, we start building on that one thing. And he says, no, there's other things. What happens is we lose communion with him then. And we begin to assume instead of have a relationship. Does everybody get it? So we take this one revelation that God has given us. Yes, we got it. Okay, great. Okay, it's for something, isn't it? It's not for everything. What happens is we take the one thing, we start running with it. Instead of having fellowship with the Lord, we begin to lose fellowship with the Lord, and we begin to labor in vain. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Glad a couple of you got it. Glory! Luke 6. Everybody say, I have the joy of the Lord because it's my strength. Hallelujah. We need to do a teaching on that, maybe. The name of this teaching is called Foundation Building. In Luke 6, verse 44. I guess we could start at 43. Some things just don't change, do they? Hallelujah. Let's read this together. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Wow. So whatever your heart, now your heart is a representation of the character of your spirit. If your spirit's been contaminated, you're going to speak things that shouldn't be. Okay? So out of your mouth speaks your heart. You taking notes? Better stare. Hallelujah. Everybody needs to be taking notes, amen? Paper, don't forget. How are you going to know how to do foundational building? Hallelujah. Let's go on. In verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I... Wow. What is he saying? You call me Lord, but you don't obey me. Why do you call me Lord when you don't follow me? You know, the word believe means to follow. See, if you say you believe and you don't follow, you're a liar. Okay? That's why we need to follow him in everything. We need to believe in all of his word, not just part of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's read verse 46 again. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? Verse 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Now he says, okay, now, here's the one that calls me Lord and listens. Now let me show you what he's like. In verse 48, let's read it together. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Now understand something. Two things here. He said he couldn't shake it because it was built on the rock. So a foundation is built on the rock. Does everybody get it? He said this foundation must be built on a rock. One who builds the foundation on a rock won't be shaken. Does everybody get that? Okay, let's go a little further. Verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Wow. So we see that there is a foundation. A foundation is built on the rock. So we see that there's two different things that build. This, before you can even build a foundation, something has to be there. A rock, which means solid, doesn't it? It's a representation of something solid. Now we know that there is a foundation of light and there's a foundation of darkness, isn't there? When you and I were born into the world, we were built on the foundation of darkness. We did the things of darkness. When we used to party and do, I mean, you know, we used to be children of dark, didn't we? But now we're building on the foundation of light. And light overtakes darkness. The Bible says he who practices light is one who believes. It's one who follows. Who doesn't practice light is one who doesn't believe or one who doesn't follow. So now you and I, our foundation is being built as a foundation of light, but it's still being built on a rock. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. And I'm going to share with you what the difference is between the rock and the foundation. But let's go a little further. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm chapter 11. Is everybody there? Psalm 11, verse 1 through 5. And let's read this together. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Now let me share something with you. So does the devil just stand in front of you and say, hi, I'm the devil? I would like to shoot secretly at you. So would you mind putting a bullseye on your chest? No, he doesn't. And he doesn't come to you and say, hi, I'm the devil. He comes to you in the same voice, doesn't he? You have to discern what voice it is. Now it says he's going to shoot secretly at you. So usually something secretly means something unknown, doesn't it? It means hidden, like a mystery. So he just doesn't come right out and say all of these things. He's shooting secretly. Now he's shooting an arrow at you. This arrow is a representation of a thought. It's secretly. It's like, you know, when a mosquito comes and bites you, you don't know. You slap at your hand afterwards and he's already bit you. Or you start scratching it later and go, man, that little varmint got me again. You know, and there is an after effect, isn't there? And sometimes that after effect is for days. Then you got to get out a little alcohol or something on there and rub it on there and try and keep the itch away. But the effects are still there. The bruise is still there, isn't it? So we see here that the devil shoots at those who are upright. It doesn't say he shoots at those who are wicked. He shoots at those who are upright in heart. Because he already has the wicked. He doesn't have to waste his time. Remember, he's coming after those who are believers. Right? So he shoots at those who are upright in heart secretly. So he can cause a crack in your foundation. That's his purpose. All right, let's go a little further. In verse 3, let's read this together. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Now he says he tests the righteous. Wow. He checks us out. He wants to make sure that your foundation is solid. What he's doing is testing me and you to show us where the cracks are in our foundation. That's how he tests us. Why? Because he wants to build on the foundation. He wants to teach you to be a builder. David desired to build the temple of God, didn't he? And the Lord said, you can't because your hands are unclean. So he let Solomon build the temple. Right? But David had a heart after God. But because he committed murder without the sanctioning of the Lord to kill, that blood was on his hands. And it was for the wrong thing. So we see here that God tests us to show us what cracks are in our foundation so that they can be repaired. So that his temple can be built. Does everybody get it? All right? Now, let's go to Ezra. Hallelujah. Ezra chapter 3. So, you know, the Bible says that God chastens those he loves, doesn't he? He chastens those he loves. So when he chastens us, what he's doing is he's correcting us to show us what needs to be fixed. Some of us need some plumbing repaired. Some of us need a little patching and a little more, whatever it may be. Ezra. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ezra. I think it's near Chronicles. I think it's after Chronicles. Yeah, 2 Chronicles. Thank you. Hallelujah. Ezra 3. Hallelujah. Ezra chapter 3. Is everybody there? To God be the glory. Let's read this together. And when the seventh month had come, verse 1, I'm sorry, and the children of Israel were in cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. The people gathered together as what? One man, because they were planning to do something. Actually, what they were planning to do is rebuild the temple. So they had to get together. And verse 2, then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren arose and built the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Is anybody there? Is everybody reading? Or is it just me I'm hearing? Okay. And verse 3. Though fear had come upon them because the people of those countries, they set the altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both morning and evening burnt offerings. They also kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it was written, and offered daily burnt offerings in the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offering, and those for the new moons, and for the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and those of everyone who willingly offered a free will offering to the Lord. So there was a free will offering also. Okay. Verse 6. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. Now I want to share something with you, which is very important. And I'm going to explain this. They began to offer burnt offerings before the foundation was even built. They began to offer to the Lord. Now, burnt offerings, you know, you and I can't offer burnt offerings now, can we? But there is offerings that we can offer now. It's called the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. Now, let's go a little further here. Let's go to verse 10 and read that. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsibly, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Now listen. They started the foundation by praise, by sacrifice. They finished the foundation by praise and sacrifice. So something was being built. The temple was being built on the foundation, right? But they started the foundation on praise, right? And they completed the foundation on praise. So we call the sacrifice an offering of praise. All right? Now, we just read a little while back that the Lord called a man who built a house that wouldn't shake was one who built the foundation on the rock. Cool. I want you to understand something, and we're going to go there. I'm going to make it real quick. The rock is the Spirit, and the foundation is the Word. And I'll explain this to you. The rock is the Spirit, and the foundation is the Word. Hallelujah. Let's go to cool. Good. Like that. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Hallelujah. The rock is the what?
Spirit.
Spirit. And the foundation is the what?
Word.
Oh, hallelujah. That one won't be shaken. That one won't be shaken. Okay?
Amen.
Glory to God. In Matthew 16. In verse 13, somewhere around there. 16:13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, what does the word Christ mean? Anointed one and his anointing. Christ is a Greek word, which means anointed one. He is the anointed one with the anointing. Does everybody get it? But see, when they translated it, that's how it should be in here. The anointed one. So we got to understand that the original writings were from God, the translations were by man. But I truly believe that God allowed this and certain other things because there was no separations of scriptures and verses in the original writings. I believe he allowed this. And if you read through some of these chapters shouldn't even be there. They should be together. And again, I believe he allowed this so that you and I would have to have fellowship in the Spirit to rightly divide his word.
Amen.
He made it no choice. Does everybody get it? You had to have, your foundation had to be built on the rock, which is the Spirit, or you would not rightly divide the word, and you would be shaken. Hallelujah. And verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So no man told Simon that Jesus was the anointed one. But he heard this from the Spirit, didn't he? Now look it. "And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on what?
This
rock I will build my what?
Church.
Oh, glory! And the gates of Hades shall what? Not prevail against." In other words, they won't shake it, will they?
Amen.
Just like that house. He said, "Listen, on this revelation that I am the anointed one." Now you got to understand the word Christ means anointed one. Now let's go a little deeper. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10:38, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. So we see not only did Jesus, the Word, come flesh, but the Spirit became incarnate also, and the Father. Because Jesus said, "If you see me, you see the Father," correct? Okay. So Peter got the revelation that Jesus was the anointed one and his anointing. Because you got to remember now, they all knew through the teaching about this dove, the representation of dove, through John the Baptist saying that the Spirit ascended on him. Amen? So they knew he had the Spirit. So Peter got the revelation that Jesus was the Christ. The Christ is a representation of the power of God for me and you.
Amen.
The power of God. He was the power. And the Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So nothing is done. Now he says, "On this rock," which is representation of the revelation that the Spirit is going to build the church.
Amen.
I'm going to build my church. Okay? Hallelujah. Now look at it. And he says, "And I will give you the what? Keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, you'll bound in in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, you will be loosened. Now, he says, I'm giving you the keys. Now, these are words, aren't they? He says, whatever you bind, so when you bind something, you got to speak it, don't you? So he says, on this I'm going to give you the keys. On what? On the revelation of the Spirit's going to build everything. I'm going to give you my word to speak, and you're going to find it. What you speak, if you're in the Spirit, is going to come to pass.
Amen?
Amen. It's going to come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Okay. So even Peter got this revelation. Jesus revealed it right then. That's the same thing of what they were doing in the book of Ezra. They were building the foundation of the temple on the rock. Does everybody get it? The rock representing the Spirit, the anointed one and his anointing. The Christ, the power of God. The Bible tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? It also says that the Lord is the Spirit. Hallelujah. I mean, I can't go to all these scriptures. We'd be here till tomorrow. And Scott would run out of his erasers. Hallelujah. Glory! Now, let's go to Exodus. Let's go to Exodus 17. Okay. Exodus 17. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Foundation or foundational building. Exodus 17 in verse 2. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water. Give us water. We need something to drink. Okay? Now the word tells us in the book of Ephesians, it says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't you drink wine? Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't wear the wine. You can't get drunk wearing it. You drink it to get drunk, right? So what he's doing is he's saying, listen, you need to drink the Spirit. Be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you got to drink the wine. So that means you got to drink the Spirit. You got to drink the Spirit. And you drink the Spirit by praise and worship. Hallelujah. So, okay. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me and why do you tempt the Lord? Like God won't supply it. And the people thirsted there for water and the people complained against Moses. And he said, why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the what? Rock of Horeb. And you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And it happened. So Moses what? Struck the rock. What did the rock represent? The Spirit. And what came out? Water for them to drink. Does everybody get it? Now what do you build your foundation on? The rock. So it's known as the Spirit. Amen? And what does the devil want you to do? Not have fellowship in the Spirit, doesn't he? Oh man, he don't mind if you can sit there and read your word all day long. But he don't want you getting in the Spirit. Because then the word will come alive. Because the Bible says the letter killeth and the Spirit brings life. And the reason why the letter killeth is because if you know the truth and you can't do the right things, you will be judged. Does everybody get it? That's why the letter kills. because judgment comes with the word. Hello? So in the spirit, you're able to walk the word, aren't you? Now the spirit brings life. Come on, are y'all with me tonight?
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb. Pray in the Spirit and you'll get revelation.
Amen.
Okay, are we done with that? Glory to God. Let's go on. Let's go on a little further. Where do we go, Daddy? Where do we go? Where do we go? I just got some scriptures thrown on here, so I'm just trying to put them in divine order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. Let's go to John 6:53. John 6. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, to God be the glory. Man, is it cooking in here? Hallelujah. John 6. I'm going to start at verse 53, and we can all read this together, if you'll please. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Okay. Verse 53, let's read it. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now we know that the flesh represents the word and his blood represents the spirit. Okay? 54. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is what? Drink indeed." Oh, hallelujah. What do you drink? The spirit. And what do you eat? The word. 56. "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." Wow. 58. Come on, let's go a little further. "This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Let's go a little further. "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" You know how many people are still saying that? Who can understand it? Now go on. "When Jesus knew himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said to them, 'Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father.'" Verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Why? Because they would not allow the true understanding. In other words, because they didn't understand something, they left. You know how many people think it's evil because there's something they don't understand? Yeah. That's it. I don't understand. It can't be from God. Foolish flesh creatures. That's it. I don't understand it. It can't be from God. No. Many have departed from Christ. The Bible says that many will depart from the faith in the latter days, right? Yeah. They're going to depart. Taking heed, listening to the voice of the stranger. They're going to run away. Listening to doctrines of men, doctrines of demons, they're going to run away. That's in Timothy 4:1. Well, you know what? We must build. Jesus told him, you got to drink my blood and eat my flesh. In other words, you got to get in the spirit. You must drink my spirit and eat my word. Right? And think about this for a minute. Just think about this for a second. I'm not going to go in there and whatever. The Bible says that you must be born of the what? Water, which also means the word, and the spirit. But we know that it's you must be baptized in the water and the spirit, which represents remission of sin and the baptism of the spirit. But in another essence of that meaning is a representation of the word and the spirit. Because the word must come in first before you can even get born again, right? The seed's got to be planted before the spirit can come and birth it. Amen? So you must be born of water, which means the word, which is the seed of God. Then the spirit of God comes and births that seed. It's like a woman. When she conceives, she's pregnant, but the birth isn't yet. Right? Then the birth comes. That's the difference between saved and born again, and that's a whole other teaching. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, let's go on a little bit further here. Let's go to, oh, hallelujah. Are we getting it? Let's go to John 16 while we're in John. Let's eat some more flesh and drink some more spirit of blood. Hallelujah. That's it. I'm out of here. This is a cult. Man, these guys are talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. That's it. I'm out of here. They must have chickens in the backyard. Glory. Hallelujah. No, just chicken legs in the freezer, right? Hallelujah. In John 16, in verse 12. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Let's read this together. Now, this is Jesus speaking to them. John 16, verse 12. All right? What does he say? Is everybody there? Let's read it. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, see, Jesus was saying, listen. Now, here's his disciples with him this whole time. 3 years, right? I mean, they're watching Jesus do all these things. Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's saying, listen, man, I got to tell you something. That's all I can tell you. He says, I got to tell you something. I can't tell you no more. I mean, that's it, right? He says, I got to tell you something. I can't tell you no more. Because you can't get it. Amen. You're still boneheads. Carnal mind. The carnal mind is still activated. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, watch what happens. Amen. Okay, now he says, hallelujah. Let's read verse 12 again. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Now, who is this? The Holy Spirit. Glory to God. That's why you got to get baptized in the Holy Ghost so the scales can come off and you can hear. Amen. 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 Now, listen. Verse 14. Let's read it. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now, wait a minute. Didn't we say that you had to build a foundation on the rock? Didn't Jesus just declare that the Spirit would glorify the Word? Oh. Beep, 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 beep. In verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Wow. So the Spirit brings everything to us, doesn't he? So without fellowship in the Spirit, how are you going to get it?
Amen.
People are still waiting for stuff, aren't they?
Yes.
And they're not getting it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go to Ephesians 2 while we're here. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Where are we going, Daddy? Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. In verse 8. Hallelujah. All blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3.
Yeah, well, I just don't believe in that baptism of the Holy Spirit stuff.
That's too bad. You got a crack in your foundation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians, did I say 3?
Yes.
Good. Verse 8. Let's start from there. Let's see. Yeah, okay, that sounds good. Let's read it together. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now he's talking about the foundation, isn't he?
Amen.
Which is the what? The Word. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Now what is that? The world. Amen. The things of the world. If you're still trying to build your walk with God, with the world, it ain't going to work. Well, you know, I'm having a relationship with the Lord, but I still like to watch pornography, or I still like to go to the dog track, or I still like to gamble, or I still like to do things of the world for entertainment, or I still like to do drugs, or I still like to drink, or I still like to, you know, commit adultery. Well, you're building, you ain't building nothing. You're not building nothing, right? In fact, there's such cracks in your foundation, it's going to crumble. Amen. I'm talking about somebody who's practicing it. You know, not somebody that falls. Somebody that falls, there's the crack there. They have to get up and patch it real quick.
Amen.
That's the wonderful thing about getting back in. Lord, forgive me. Amen. Patch it up. Psh, get back in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And keep building. Okay, let's go on. In verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. So we know that our rewards when we go home, if we're building on the right things of God, there will be rewards. If we're not, they're going to burn up. So in other words, you've got to have fellowship in the Spirit, don't you? Because you've got to be led by what he's telling you to do and what to build. Amen? Praise God. Let's go a little further. Quick. Okay. Verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So on this foundation, we're going to be building the temple. Okay, let's go a little further. Hallelujah. All right. So no one can build on this temple except for through what? I mean, on this foundation, except for through Christ Jesus, the Anointed One and His anointing, the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's go to Matthew 4. Let's go back a little bit. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Now we know that Jesus was tempted by the devil, and his response was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God. Not some, but every word. That's your foundation. Not some of the word, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word, every word, every word, every word in this Bible from cover to cover. You know, many people just think, well, yeah, I know the word, but you know what? And they only read the New Testament. They don't get the full understanding without reading the Old Testament. You won't get it. Amen? The Word is the Word. The Old Testament is the shadow of that which is to come in the New Testament. We got to read the Word. Hallelujah. So we know that the Word is the representation of the foundation. Amen? In fact, we know, go to John chapter 1, book of John. John 1. Hallelujah. Let's go on verse 1. Let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, if the Word was God, we know that it has to be a foundation. Now look it. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were what? Made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So the Word would have to be a foundation. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Go to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now we know, now let me share something with you. The Bible talks about the Spirit of grace, and we just talked about the what? Spirit of truth. So we see that the Word was built on the rock. In fact, when the angel appeared to the Lord when the angel appeared to Mary and told her, listen, you're going to have a child. And she said, what do you mean? How's this going to happen? He said, well, the Spirit of the Lord will descend, and the shadow of the Most High will overshadow you. So who was, you know, when you think about it, who was actually the Father of Jesus was the Holy Spirit. Because God is Spirit. I know we're getting a little deep here, so we'll just hang tough. To God be the glory. The Bible also says that we are to enter His courts with what? Thanksgiving and praise. And that's exactly what they were doing in the book of Ezra before the foundation was being built. And after the foundation was built, they were offering sacrifices. Now let's go back to that for a second. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, I know we're doing a little flying, but it's cool. Keep the pages turning, you'll keep cool. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hebrews 13. Is everybody there? And verse, okay. Let's start at verse 10. Let's read this. For we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the camp, outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, understand this. Let me give you a real quick thing here. By building your foundation of the word on the rock, which is the Spirit, your lips are now the altar of God. Does everybody get it? Your lips are now the altar of God because you are the temple of God, and you can profane the altar by what comes out of your mouth. Does everybody get it? Your lips, your mouth is now the altar of God because the New Testament is the ministry of the Spirit. And spirit means breath. So what you speak is what you get, right? That's why you had to confess your sins so that the blood of Jesus would be activated. Not if you thought. You can't forgive in your mind. There must be a confession. A confession. Because spirit means breath. When you confess something, that's what causes it. Jesus didn't think the devil away. He spoke him away, didn't he? And you and I still have to do it. You can't. If you're trying to fight the devil in your mind, you're going to get your butt kicked. You'll lose every time. Praying in your mind, you'll lose. You know how many believers are still getting beat up, tossed over, run over by the devil? And they can't understand why, and they read their word because they never pray it. They never speak it. They're waiting on God, and God's waiting on them. He's going, say something, will you? Hallelujah. So we have to offer up the sacrifices of praise. So you got to understand that the foundation must be built on praise and worship. Because it's being built on the rock. The rock is the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, there must be praise and worship. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Okay. Now let's go to Romans 15. Hallelujah. And the foundation is the what? The Word. And the rock is the what? The Spirit. I need to send this to some of my old Catholic friends. Hallelujah. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 18. Oh, somewhere around there. Oh, cool. All right. Oh, we'll back up a little bit. Hallelujah. Romans 15. Okay, we'll have to go there. In verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and in deed to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Christ meaning what? The Anointed One and His anointing. So he was going around preaching the Anointed One. In fact, when Jesus, the first thing Jesus preached, right, if you recall in Luke, when he went into synagogue, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So what was he doing? He was establishing the rock. He was establishing the rock. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. In verse 20, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. So you can't build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. So we don't want to build on the foundation of a man, do we? We want to build on the foundation of the Spirit. The Spirit. Okay. You know, and that's what seems to be the problem in the body of Christ, because the foundation is being built on the foundation, not on the rock. And that's why it crumbles. Because you put two foundations together, it ain't going to work. Because it's got to be built on the rock. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's where traditions of men make the word of God no effect. Is everybody with me? In other words, in certain parts of the body of Christ, you'll find in certain denominations, let's say, let's be quite frank, in certain organizations, denominations, they reject the Spirit and are building on the foundation. And you can't build on another man's foundation. Do you get it? Because what you're doing is you're building on a man's foundation, not on the rock, which is the Spirit. Because a man's foundation does not rightly interpret the Word. All right? He does not rightly divide the Word. So by that, he's building on a man's foundation of the man's interpretation instead of the interpretation of the Spirit. Oh, we're getting somewhere. Glory to God. Hebrews 5. Glory to God. Hebrews 5. Praise be to God. Hebrews chapter 5. And verse 12. Is everybody there? For though by this time you ought to be what?
Teachers.
You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. You know how many people have been with the Lord for 30 years and they're still babes? Amen. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Good and evil. So you and I must practice, right? We must exercise what we have ascertained. Amen? So that we can continue to eat solid food. Now, I know that the Lord shared with me when he started this ministry that he would put meat in a bottle so that the meat would be easily consumed. In other words, you know, we look at an outside of a bottle carrying milk. Well, he said, I'm going to put it in the bottle, but it isn't going to be milk. It's going to be meat. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. And verse 4. Is everybody there? Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. Verse 20. Just change that 4 to a 20. I mean, hallelujah. And keep going. Hallelujah. In verse 20, let's read it together. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. In other words, listen, after you've already learned and you go back to those things, it's worse. It's harder to get out of. I mean, it's difficult. Okay, let's go on. Verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Verse 22. But it has been happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and so having washed to her wallowing in mire. Now, he calls, in other words, when we, and I'll bring it to the scripture, and we'll go to it right now, Galatians 2:18. He calls us a dog that returns to his vomit. In other words, something we've been delivered from. When we return to it and try and build on it again. Go to Galatians 2:18. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, even when we return to our own vomit. Amen? We can repent quickly and get out. Galatians chapter 2. But you got to understand something. The reason why these things happen is because the sequence of building the temple, which is first must be built on the rock, then the foundation, then the temple is built on the foundation, isn't there? The building is built on the foundation, right? So the foundation must be built on solid ground. The rock is a representation of the Spirit. The foundation is a representation of the Word. Now the temple can be built. Is everybody with me? Okay. Without a solid foundation, the temple will crumble, won't it? The house will fall. Okay. So if you're not in fellowship with the Spirit, right, the foundation, which is the Word, will not give life and will not hold. And eventually the temple is going to fall. Does everybody get it? Okay. Nobody said yes. Oh, you're all writing. Okay.
We're there. All over.
Praise God. Well, you can get the tape. In verse 18, chapter 2 of the book of Galatians, if we may read this together. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Let me share with you. If you begin to build on the things that you've been delivered from, it is sin. Well, I've been delivered from cigarettes. You pick it up, it's sin. I've been delivered from drugs and all that. I've been delivered from this. You pick it up again, it is sin. It's sin. Does everybody get it? Good. I don't think we need to go any further than that. It's sin, and the wages of sin is what?
Death.
So we need to stop building on the things God has delivered us from. Amen? And start building on the things that He has given to us freely by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Go to Jeremiah 7. That might bring a little bit more interesting thing. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jeremiah 7 and verse 23. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this. Watch this. This is powerful. In verse 23, let's read this together and get understanding. Jeremiah 7 and verse 23. But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Obey my voice is the first thing he says, right? Who spoke to Peter? The Spirit, right? Ah. Now what does he say? And I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all of my ways that I what? Commanded you. And what was commanded? What was written. That it may be well with you. Does everybody understand that? He says, obey my voice in the Spirit, and obey my commands, which has been written, which is my word. In verse 24 it says, yet they would not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of what? Their evil hearts, and went backward and what? Not forward. Whoa. So when we find ourselves going backward, we're being led by our dictates of our evil heart, not by the ways of the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Good. Okay. I guess I don't need to go any further on that. I got more, but I don't need to go any further. Let's go to Ephesians 2. We don't want to go backwards, do we? Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. And when we're not, when we refuse to listen, our heart is hardened. Does everybody understand that? And when we justify, our heart is hardened. Justification is a fruit of a hardened heart. Yeah, but, you know, the butt ministry. We're the head, not the tail, right? Okay. Glory, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Ephesians 2? Praise be to God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Let's read this together. Hallelujah. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now wait a minute. The apostles and the prophets were moving in the Spirit, weren't they? In fact, the Spirit of prophecy is the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And the apostles were in the fivefold ministry. They were in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So what was built? The foundation was built on the Spirit, wasn't it? Keep going. And Jesus being the chief cornerstone, glory to God. And verse 21, on whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Oh, isn't that wonderful? 1 Timothy chapter 2. So no temple can be built on anything unless it is a solid foundation, and the foundation cannot be laid unless it's laid on the solid ground, which is the rock, the Spirit. First Pete chapter 2. Did I say 1 Timothy?
Yeah.
Forgive me. And my handwriting's a little rough. I'm seeing fingerprints on my glasses too, but that's okay.
Justification,
son of Lord.
Amen. You edit that out. I take that back, Lord.
Hallelujah. I forgive him. Hallelujah. Forgive me for coarse jesting. Oh, I mean the thought. Never mind. First Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Hey, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? You can't have fun walking with the Lord and don't walk with him. Glory to God. Walk with somebody else. Hallelujah. Okay. Are we there yet? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Can we read this together? Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. That's me and you, no matter what the devil tells you. Amen? You're precious in the sight of God, even when you're disobedient. You also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, let me share something with you. This whole building is a representation of you as being the dwelling place of God. The rock, which is the Spirit, must be built on the foundation of the Word so that the temple can be established, because you are the priest of the temple. You have a priesthood. Your first office is priest. A priest ministers to the Lord. That's why the rock is not is broken up when we forsake our first office, which is priesthood. A priest prays and worships and ministers to the Lord. Does everybody get it? Because the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus has called me and you to be kings and priests. And a king is a representation of a warrior. And a priest is a worshiper. Okay? So we've been, have this, let's read verse 5 again. You also are living stones, verse 5, and being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice. So what's a spiritual sacrifice? Praise and worship. Glory to God. Okay, verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, if you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and the rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the what? Word, to which they also were appointed. Hold on, let's keep going. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And turn to 2 Timothy 2, and we're going to close with this scripture, I believe. But you know, things can happen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's about you and him. Glory to God. And verse 19. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Wow. So you are a holy priesthood. The temple must be built on a foundation of the Word. The foundation must be laid on the rock of the Spirit. Jesus commanded us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. It's about the Spirit and the Word. You will not be shaken if you are built correctly in the Spirit and on the Word. You won't be shaken. Does everybody understand that? You won't be shaken. And if you're shaken, then you must realize that there's a crack in your foundation. And you need to search God so it can be sealed and get back in the Spirit so everything can be reestablished, so the temple can be built and maintained, so that you can maintain your office of priesthood and be a sign and wonder to others. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your revelation, Lord. We thank you for the impartation. Now I plead the blood of Jesus on the seed, that it not be stolen, but it be imparted. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll birth that seed to bring revelation and understanding of who we are in you and who you are in us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen, amen and hallelujah.